Welcome to the Melrose Place podcast, where we rewatch, recap, and analyze every episode of the hit 90s TV series Melrose Place.
I'm Dan Hill.
And I'm Jenny Hill.
Let's get started. Three, episode 24, To Live and Die in Malibu. Air date, March 20th, 1995.
Now we open with Amanda on her deathbed. She is not looking good.
She's in the hospital, sleeping with Michael by her side.
No, he's very distraught. And Matt is, of course, just waiting in the wings because Matt's entire job is to just facilitate everything Michael does while running the entire hospital on his own.
I don't think Matt lives at Melrose Place anymore.
I think he's moved into the hospital.
Yeah. And Matt asks like how she's doing, and Michael responds, "She's not great. And I would really like it if we could keep this between us." And Michael says that he should have never recommended that radical treatment. So like, what? That treatment is now bad for her?
Well, it looks like she's taken a turn for the worse. And he's blaming himself because of the treatment that he recommended, that she is now having such troubles.
Adverse effects.
Right. So Matt suggests that Michael go home. He's been right there by her bedside the whole time. And Michael says, you know what? Maybe that's a good idea. Kimberly isn't due back from New York for another day. I'll have the whole place to myself. Yeah, I think I'm going to go home. And Matt pledges to be right by Amanda's side. Yeah,
Michael's like, who's going to be, like, who's going to take care of her? And Matt's like, I'll be here.
How about the nursing staff works there?
Are you a doctor, Matt? What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
And we have learned that Matt has a lot of responsibilities. He knows a lot. I kind of would feel in better hands with Matt than with Michael or Kimberly at this point.
I think they could have told. There's a storyline here that they're not taking advantage of where, like, Matt is like a culprit in all of this.
Like in the end, it was Matt that gave Amanda cancer.
Because Michael leaves the room and then Matt goes in it. Yeah, like while she's sleeping.
He's ready to sit by her bedside throughout the night.
What for? It's like really puzzling me. I'm starting to get mad at it.
Don't get mad.
I'm starting to get, well, not mad at the entire show, but just like mad that Matt is just free range of the hospital.
Okay, so Michael returns to his beach house. It's dark. It's late. He's tired. He walks into the front door. He starts going into the kitchen.
And he turns on the light.
And then sitting on the couch is Kimberly awaiting his return.
Rough day at the hospital, sweetheart.
And of course, Michael is astounded to see her there. She's not due back from New York for another day. And she's like, oh gosh, Kimberly, I wasn't expecting you.
And she pulls out Amanda's bra and panties and has some questions for Michael.
But in the most chipper tone, she says,
"What is all this?
What's all this stuff?"
And he's like, "You know, it's Amanda's, but she's an ICU. She may not make it."
Oh, so she willed you her Wonder Bra? Which is a great line. And so, of course, Michael tries to turn it around on Amanda and say, you know, she is on her deathbed. She's gonna die, sweetheart. And with all the transference stuff, she's in love with me. I just thought I'd give her a reason to live for.
Yeah. God damn it, Michael. You are so narcissistic.
And Kimberly says, by moving her into our house and having her sleep in our marital bed.
And he's like, well, Kimberly, sweetie, she didn't sleep in there. But of course she did. And then Kimberly just, she passes it off, but with an ulterior motive. She's like, oh my gosh, I'm just so lucky to have a loving, caring, conscientious husband. Now come over here and give mommy a kiss.
So, of course, Michael thinks he's gotten off scot-free, goes over to Kimberly's wide open arms. They start making out. And then Kimberly bites his lip.
Ew.
And then he's like, what the hell are you doing? And Kimberly responds with,
love hurts, Michael. Remember that.
And she walks away.
And he's like checking his lip, like doing that thing where you like touch whatever hurts and look for blood, like over and over again.
And he is bleeding. She got him.
Oh, she bit the shit out of him.
So,
dude, that hurts. It hurts when you bite your lip.
How many times have you been bitten by someone kissing you?
No, I've bit myself. You seen these lips? I bite my inside of my cheeks.
Why are you making this public knowledge?
I bite my lips a lot.
Why?
I don't know. It's just a lot of stuff to maintain over there. I bite shit all the time.
Okay.
It hurts. It hurts.
Yeah.
To bite
your
lip.
Stop.
I try to. I don't willingly do this.
Okay. So we go to the opening credits, and then we're back to some establishing shots. Couple of our favorites are making an appearance.
Bread and paper boy.
But guys,
double duty.
You know what? The bread guy, the paper guy, it's a new scene.
Yeah.
He's delivering paper, but we have a guy that's like wheeling a cart behind him. We haven't seen this version of that shot.
Well, I think that's a full, that's a continuation. Like, it's the beginning of the other shot.
Oh.
Like, I think he takes the paper, like that guy's coming, wheeling the thing, and he throws it out. Then he gets another paper and throws that. So it's the beginning of the original.
That makes sense.
And then it's the same shot. Homie, waiter is putting up an umbrella, mm-hmm. and he brings in the paper
bread.
Bag of bread.
Yeah, so guy delivering newspapers and bread. He's very busy. The one thing that struck me as a little odd is that we go to Shooters, and I mean, we're establishing what? This is early morning, businesses are opening, newspapers are being delivered, yet there is a gang of bikers that are lined up outside of Shooters.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. The term gang and bikers should not be used that loosely. It could be a motorcycle club. It could be folks who just like motorcycles.
These are people that are dressed only in black leather, and they have several motorcycles with them. Call it what you will.
It's a gang. But yeah, there's a line for Shooters. And we get Jess.
Yeah, so Jess is back, guys. He's come down from Ellensburg. I caught that. I did not know where the hell Jake lived or where they were. It was just up north.
Jake Hansen. Ellensburg.
I'm from Ellensburg. Don't know what state, but it's Ellensburg somewhere.
He walks into Shooters like it is the Smithsonian Museum.
He's impressed.
He's like, whoa.
Oh my God. Look at these fluorescent lights. This is amazing.
These floors and walls.
Whoa.
And he's just taking it all in. And then Sid shows up. She's opening. She's like, I'm sorry. We're not open yet. Come back in a half hour. And Jess is like, oh, no, I'm looking for Jake.
Oh, well, Jake's not in now. You know, he was out of town for a couple of days. You see, his mom passed away, so he's been having a tough time.
I've got a problem with this.
Yeah, Sydney, why volunteer that information to just a stranger?
Yeah, I don't want...
Isn't that cool?
At this point in time, she has no idea who this person is. You should not be telling random people that other people died and they'll be back and just... Like, you know, keep to your own.
I'm with you. But Jess doesn't allow the suspense to go for very much longer because he reveals that he is Jess Hansen, Jake's brother.
And Sydney, like, flips out. She's like, oh, my God, I didn't know he had a brother. That's so awesome. And then Sydney, she just opens up everything. She's like, oh, my gosh, I'll let you know where he lives. Come with me.
Yeah, come on. I'm going to show you where he lives. I mean, I love surprises, and I bet that Jake's going to love this too. We're going to just show up at his house. So I'm like, okay, no. Sydney, you're opening the bar in half an hour. You're still setting up. You're still getting like your cocktail, like trays going, And then you're going to take time out of that, your setup duties, to just go take this guy over to Jake's place?
Jenny, I think it's doable. You know why?
What?
Because in season one, Sandy established how far away Shooters is to Melrose Place.
It's really close.
It's a hop skip.
You can walk. But Dan, don't forget about the biker gang. They're waiting. Oh, yeah. They're outside. They are waiting for the doors to open.
That is true. That does bring up some more problems.
And another thing, Sydney and Jess were like really flirting hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
They had a little something, a little chemistry.
There's a spark. Part of my predictions from last week. So now we go to D&D. Joe is talking to Billy and Brooke, and Joe is clamoring. She wants Allison's attention because she can't understand her concept of this Glorious Gowns campaign.
Right. She's complaining to Billy that Allison doesn't even have 10 minutes out of her day to explain what the vision is going to be. And she needs a little direction as to like what she needs to do. And at that moment, Allison walks up, starts, you know, barking out orders to Brooke.
What's going on? What's happening? And Billy's trying to talk and she cuts him off.
And you know what? I will say that this was probably one of the most realistic scenes that I've seen thus far on Melrose Place, because there was a lot of talking over one another. Mm-hmm. It just seemed more
lifelike. There's better timing.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Billy gets cut off. And
has to repeat himself. And these are things, a lot of times it's very soap opera-y, where it's like these very calculated lines delivered at like a certain like slow pace. But this was very...
They rehearsed.
True to life, yeah. No, I think it was pretty good. But anyway...
The location for Glorious Gowns fell through, and they need another one in 48 hours.
Ooh, this seems to be very tough. They also have a bunch of models that are just waiting in Allison's office to be cast for the shoot.
That's right. Allison is pissed. She immediately blames Joe and thinks that she's sabotaging the location because she knows that Joe didn't like it. And then Joe's like, what are you talking about? I would not sabotage a location. And then Joe's like, look, how about this? I will cast the models, and then you guys, that frees you guys up to figure out where the shoot's gonna be. And Allison's like, yeah, that's a great idea, but hey, if you fuck this up, it's your butt.
Yeah. She is being... I had to stop this and say, Dan, what? Am I missing something? Like, did they get in a fight previously, like last episode or a couple episodes ago, that I'm not thinking of?
Nope.
The way that Allison is talking to Joe is totally unacceptable. She is so mean to her for nothing.
Such a bitch. I can't wait to hear Donald try to defend her this week. Don't get mad at Allison. She's having a hard day, and they are ganging up on her.
Stop.
Allison tells Joe her butt is on the line, and then Billy looks at Allison. He's like, hey, I think you need people management skills.
And there's many times where we don't think Billy is like has a clue, but I think that he's on to something.
Billy, I'm kind of with you, man. And even last week, you know how I know you're stupid? Because you don't have any people management skills.
Now, Brooke chimes in and she says, I think I have a solution to the problem. Why don't we shoot it at my dad's house?
My father's house.
And so...
In Pasadena.
Yeah, it's in Pasadena. And of course, Allison hears this idea and she's like, oh, you're very sweet to try to fix the problem, but the place that we were looking at was very special and I just don't think it's going to cut it.
And she's like, it's not Buckingham Palace, but it's nice. It has an East Coast feel and a wide open space.
So this really perks Allison up and she's like, all right, Billy, go with her. Go check it out. Let me know if it's going to work and get back to me.
She is so cold. She's so cold.
Cold as ice.
Now let's head over to Jake's. Sydney brings over Jess unannounced. Jake's like, oh, hey, what's up, Jess? C- come on in. And then he cuts Sydney off. I think he puts his forearm up.
Like, you're not getting in.
And, like, blocks the door like a bouncer. And he just looks at her and he's like, see you at Shooters.
And really, she's got to get back there.
Yeah, you better hustle
up. Those bikers are knocking at your door.
Jake and Jess are playing nice. They're like, how you doing? It's nice of you to come down here. What are your thoughts? What's going on? And Jess is really, he's really bored now in wherever the hell he's living.
Yeah, up in Ellensburg.
Because mom's gone.
And everything turned to dust.
Yeah, and he's like, well, I used to like have to get mom out of bars and keep men out of her pants. Now I don't have to do that anymore, so I'm just kind of bored.
I'm sick of just taking a screwdriver and just like screwing it into the same part of a carburetor like over and over again.
Little brother, you might have heard from mom's weird lawyer who's always in a rush that, you know, my gas station sucked. Well, it did, so now I'm here.
I just want to make something of myself like you did.
He just doesn't like who he's become. And he needs family to give him a chance.
And okay, so then I don't know how Jake can misconstrue this, but then Jake is like, so you came all the way down here to give me a guilt trip, huh? And I was like, where did you
Yeah, you really jumped the gun, like, Jake.
What are you talking about?
And then Jess is like, all right, I'll go back.
And now Jess is like, wow, Jake, I thought we really connected last time we saw each other. But I guess I was wrong.
And it's like, dude, we know exactly where this conversation is going the moment it started. Jake pops up and he's like, hey, you know what? How about this? How about you work at Shooters? I could use some help. And then Jess is like, I love it how he addresses Jake all the time. He's like, well, all right, little brother, put me on the payroll. Oh, my God. That's insane. So Jess is going to work at Shooters.
Now we're whisked away to Billy and Brooke, and they're in Billy's sick convertible, driving down a long driveway with trees on either side, and at the end of the driveway is a gorgeous estate.
And coming from two people who are from the East Coast, would you call this an East Coast feel?
No.
No, this is a fucking mansion.
It looks like an English manor.
Yeah.
It does not look East Coast. It looks like an English manor that is in Beverly Hills.
It's an estate.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I'll give it that. But it doesn't have an East Coast feel, to me at least.
The only thing East Coast about it is that it has a yard.
Yeah.
That is it.
So
rest is like richy rich, luxury, lap of luxury. And all right, here's what I don't get. Their conversation in this car is, you live here in Pasadena? She says yes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm thinking, you live in Pasadena, but your old job you just quit was in Long Beach?
That sucks.
What a commute.
That commute is stupid.
That's the worst. And then it's like, impossible.
Okay, you live with your dad?
With daddy.
I mean, I get it. If I could live in a place like that, I guess I would. But she's supposed to be like this young professional woman.
And then Billy says, how rich are you? She responds, filthy.
Yup.
What a fucking like.
I love it.
You love that?
I love it, Dan.
That was your favorite?
It is my favorite.
I love it when characters say they're filthy rich.
Because I just want to be them so bad.
And she's like, well, they get out of the car, they're walking around, and she's very flirty. She's wearing like some sort of like Dracula purple thing.
It's very strange.
Like
a big collar happening, but it's pastel.
Guys, Google Vampirella, and it looks like that. Well, a little more classy, a little less skin, but the collar on that thing.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's very a lot pointy. Happening. So she's showing Billy the outdoor grounds in the back, and they're walking around the pool, and Billy's like, well, how about the outlets? You got places to plug stuff in?
And she's like, oh, yes, we have 12 outlets on the ground.
Every 20 feet of those outlets, my father likes to entertain a lot.
Who does he entertain? Lights?
I don't know.
He entertains light fixtures. But hey, guys, so we're having a lamp party every 20 feet. When you guys hanging out around all these lamps? Get a load of these lamps.
So Brooke guides Billy to this little corner of the yard, and she's like, I want to show you something very special to me.
And Billy's like, oh, yeah, this would be great to shoot.
Oh, no, I don't want anything to be shot here because this is very private. And as she's delivering this little speech, she's like, there's this big plant, and she's like, stroking the plant very lovingly.
She caresses it.
Yeah, she's giving a lot of love to this plant.
She sits on the bench and she says, this is where I lost my virginity.
And I'm like, to the plant? You're the way you're touching that plant.
I wrote down, this is amazing. And then why can't they shoot in a spot that she's lost her virginity in? Like, why is that off limits?
And why would she bring that up? And Billy's like, oh, wow, don't you think there should be a plaque here?
And she's like, well, I was having sex with my partner while my father was in a window smoking a pipe with no clue.
He had no idea what we were doing. And okay, Kristen Davis, she's very beautiful, but she does these really weird facial,
she's like crinkling her nose.
Yeah, it's it's very strange. Like, she's so proud of herself to tell Billy that this is where she lost her virginity. And so she's like all up in his face.
They're about to kiss.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to start making out. And then we have this other gentleman suitor that arrives, and he's like, oh, Brooke, hello, Brooke, and starts running toward them.
Like, some dude shows up named Lowell, and Brooke leaps up and makes out with him. And she's like, oh, this is my boyfriend, Lowell Burroughs.
No, my fiance,
Lowell Burroughs. I thought his name was fucking LOL.
It was like, this guy's name is LOL.
Lowell. It's like, who is Lowell?
Laugh out loud. No, Dan, it's like a name, Lowell.
Yeah, she had to spell it for me. L-O, I'd never heard of this name. What's up? My name's Lowell. You know, Lowell. I was like, what in the blazes? So this guy is played by Patrick Fabian, and he's known for The Last Exorcism, which I love.
Oh, that's what he's from.
Yeah. Must Love Dogs. He's on Better Call Saul, and he was on 24. But he shows up real white bread, real like, oh, hello, I'm a businessman. And they're just making out in front of Billy. And
Billy is like, oh, well, you didn't tell me you were engaged, Brooke.
She's like, oh, yep, well, I am. And Billy's like, does he use the phone to tell Allison that the place is cool?
Right. And Brooke reaches into Lowell's breast pocket and pulls out a cell phone.
And she hands it to him and she says, it's a 310 area code. And I'm like, is that so that he doesn't call long distance?
I don't know. I was trying to piece that together, too. I think maybe back in the early days of cell phones, you could only call,
yourself?
Yeah, maybe she was saying that he could only call 310 area codes because that would be local.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
The only more 90s it could have gotten here was like, can you wait till 9 p.m.? Because then it's free. I get free nights and weekends. So now we go to Wilshire Memorial. The insurance adjuster from last episode, shows up and is looking for Michael. It just so happens that Kimberly is right there hearing this, and she's like, oh, what do you need Michael for? I'm his wife. Maybe I can help.
Now, the insurance adjuster looks at Kimberly in disbelief and says, Oh, Mrs. Mancini, I'm so sorry. I didn't recognize you.
She's like, what are you talking about?
Of course, Kimberly is caught off guard and she's like, how would you know me? He's like, well, you know, when we met before, I'm Scott Scheckman from the insurance agency.
Scott Scheckman?
Yeah, I think so. And when we met before,
this is the fakest name I ever heard.
You were in bed and you were very sick and I'm just here. I have the check for your settlement. We had agreed to settle out of court because of your car accident to the tune of $100,000.
Yeah, he's like, oh, don't you remember me? You were laying in bed with 7 blankets on your face.
And your head. And so Kimberly, of course, she's not that dumb. She plays this off and is like, oh, yes, of course. Michael likes to protect me with anything to do with the accident. It's been very difficult for me. Thanks so much. I'll go ahead and take the check and I'll see to it that Michael gets it.
And she signs for it and everything. Scott Scheckman is played by Daryl Anderson, who is known for Young and the Restless, Days of Our Lives, The Comeback. You love The Comeback.
I love that show.
And let me see if I can find anything else cool. Nope.
Those are pretty cool credits.
He was on Flipper.
All right.
1989.
So we are still at Wilshire Memorial and we cut to Michael in Amanda's hospital room and he's stroking her hand and Amanda wakes up and he's like, hi, honey, you made it through the night. Like he honestly thought she was going to die.
You made it through the night, baby. And he's telling her like, I've realized how much I love you. I want us to be together, Amanda. And Amanda's just like, yeah, whatever. I need my rest.
So you need to leave.
And she's like, remember I told you not to tell me you love me?
And so he leaves and right outside of the door.
This is great.
Is Kimberly.
He can't even turn the corner and he leaves Amanda's room so like happy and all like gingerly. And then boom, like runs into Kimberly. And it's like, oh, Jesus Christ.
And he says, fight me again and I'll drive a stake through your heart.
And so Kimberly, she immediately confronts him like, what is this lovely little check I have for $100,000?
Okay, hand it over, Kimberly. Come on.
Yeah, he's like, give me the check. And she's like, oh, no, no, no. If you want this check, you're going to have to drop old Bimbo in there with the brown roots.
Yeah, the bleach blonde dye job with the brown root, the dark roots.
The dark roots. Yeah. And she's like, if you want this $100,000, you got to tell her to get lost. And Michael's like, all right, I'll do that. And then Kimberly hits him with another one that the check has to be deposited into their joint account. And Michael's like, okay, fine. And then Kimberly's happy. He's going to dump Amanda. So they start making out, but they make sure to have Michael like open his eyes while they're making out. Like, it was like, really scary.
It was kind of like he was like rolling his eyes like, ugh. But it was played strange. Very weird.
Dude, it was like really Twilight Zone-ish of like, what is wrong with him? Always close your eyes.
So we're back in D&D, and it is so busy there. I have never seen this many people working there at one time.
And yeah, it's, I mean, now that Allison is running the show, they've really ramped it up. But Brooke is very, she's not the same character as she was in the last.
I don't know, Dan. I could see glimmers of this.
She's super rambunctious and like, feisty.
Remember how when Allison was accepting her award, she got all like cozied up to Billy and like put her arm around his chair and was like,
and Billy like checked out her boobs.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you could kind of see it there, but she's really like ramping it up a level. So she's like, oh, Billy, how about we get out of here? I'll treat you to lunch anywhere you want to go.
Forget about work.
And he's like, look, I'm on a deadline. I don't have time to go out to lunch. I brought a sandwich. We can go halvesies on it if you want.
She wants to go to the Ivy.
The Ivy, which back in the 90s, like, was the place to eat.
Me and Jenny once ate at the Ivy.
We did.
In hopes to see, like, a celebrity. The food wasn't that great.
And we didn't see anybody cool.
Yeah. It was kind of dumb. We had to wait in line for a long time.
But we can say that we did it.
We can. And I got to say, you don't ask another man to escape with you unless you want to bang him.
That's what she says. She's like, the idea is to forget about work. Come on, Billy.
Escape with me. What? That means do me. That means do me right now if we leave.
Yeah, and Billy's like, I'm sorry, don't you have a fiance? And then she flips it on him and is like, Billy, don't let your ego get out of your pants. I'm just trying to be friendly. Maybe you're not mature enough to have an actual friendship with someone that you're sexually attracted to.
Dude, Billy can't get out of like sexual triangles at work. He can't.
That's and his, like, safe zone.
The second he gets out of one, he's in a different one. Because then Allison shows up, and she's like, hey, big boy, can't stop thinking about you from the other night. And he's like, what the fuck?
And Billy even says, that's funny, because when I wanted to talk about it, you didn't have time for me. And now that you want to talk about it, it's all good? You feel happy about everything?
And she says, oh, but Billy, like, that was work. I was really busy. Now I'm not.
And honestly, the thought of you is the only thing keeping me going.
And then does she just walk away and Billy's like left with his
thoughts, like, oh my God, what do I do?
He's like, I don't know. He's really screwed up.
So next up, we're back at Shooters and Jess is on his first day at the job.
Is this the first time we've seen the Shooters shirt?
I think so.
The Shooters.
The Shooters shirt that we have perfect replicas of.
That's right. We got lovely Shooters replica shirts from our main man, Justin.
Handmade.
Handmade. They're beautiful. We'll post a picture of us in them. But yeah, I think this is the first time we've ever seen a Shooter shirt, and it is being worn by none other than the newest member of the Shooters bus boy team.
Now we learned.
Jess Hansen, everyone.
Jess has never bus tables before, and he's a little nervous.
Yeah, like, you should not be nervous of bussing tables. I'm not one to knock any form of honest work, but bussing tables is not that complicated. When food or beverages are done and finished, you walk up and you remove those plates or dishes or cups away. And you take them to the kitchen.
We get it.
That's it.
So Sydney's trying to kind of walk him through everything. And she's trying to insert herself into this, asking, what was Jake like growing up? Did he have a lot of girlfriends?
And
I like Jess's response. He says, unlike me, he doesn't let people get too close to him.
But this was weird because they kept sprinkling in, like, this is how you work. And I'll trade you, like, some past about Jake on both sides, you know? Like, and then Jess was like, so what's your relationship with Jake? And she's like, he's my soulmate.
We pretty much belong to each other. We're totally, like, supposed to be together.
He just is taking a longer time to realize it. And I would immediately be like, okay, crazy
stalker!
You cray cray. So they go back and forth. Just trading stories about Jake and stories about their past relationship and how to manage a restaurant.
Now, Matt, Billy, Brooke, and Allison have decided to visit Amanda at her hospital bed. And they're all sitting outside of Amanda's room, kind of like discussing their game plan about like what they're going to say and do when they go in, which was kind of weird.
Did they all drive separate? Because I feel like that would have been a conversation to have been had in the car.
Or like walking up to the room. But then Allison last minute is like, you know what, Brooke? I just can't go in there. Here's like the one single one rose. Flower.
I thought those are for like dances.
You mean like, when someone's throwing like roses up to someone after they've danced on a stage or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, or like your kid or like your sister like just performed in like a school recital. You bring the one flower, you know?
I don't know.
That was a thing.
Okay, well,
I've been to a lot of dance recitals. You bring the one.
Like, oh, you don't bring a whole bouquet?
Nah. Because they're going to get so many.
Oh, all right. Because all of them being thrown up on the stage and everything.
Yeah. You bring the one. And because you're a kid, I was broke. So I'd be like, here you go, Sarah.
Here's your one single rose.
Here's your one.
So Allison gets cold feet. She gives Brooke her single rose and is like, please tell Amanda that I wish her a speedy recovery, but I can't go in there.
And Billy says, you know, if the situation were reversed, she would be there.
No, she wouldn't.
Absolutely not.
What are you talking about?
Especially after the events that have transpired at D&D. No, she would be there to laugh at you. She would be there to like rub it in.
Yeah.
But she would not be there to give you one rose. So that's where we leave them. We go back to Shooters. Joe is at the bar having a beer, talking shit about Allison, how much of a jerk she's been.
And really the way that she did treat Joe, this is totally justified.
Yeah. And then Jess kind of butts into the conversation. Joe sees him and is like, oh, hey, good to see you again. And
this is where we learn that Jess is actually living at Shooters in the office, sleeping on a cot.
So wrong.
Yeah.
And so many levels.
Joe is like, what are you talking about? Why aren't you staying at your brother's house?
Well, you know, I don't want to bother him, so I just...
We need space. Us Hanson boys, we need room.
Yeah,
to brood around by ourselves.
So when I'm not working, I'm just sleeping in the office. And I can't go to sleep just because
showering,
we're open till 2.
Just showering in the urinals.
Yeah, this is not set up well for living quarters. So Joe is like, Jake, let's go to dinner anywhere but here.
At this point, I would be like that too.
Like
they
what?
Eat every meal at freaking Shooters.
Joe cannot spend and another second in
like
Shooters.
We don't really get what's going on in the back. Like, who's working the line? Who's cooking there?
I don't
what
know.
What kind of food do they serve? We only know, like, Jake...
They used to have salads, because I remember Jane got a big-ass salad and didn't eat it at all, because she was pregnant.
Sure, okay.
How do I remember that?
Because you are a weird freak. But I remember, like, Jake is there every day, Sydney's there pretty much every day, and then there are no other employees.
Yeah.
It's just Jake and Sydney.
Even when Sydney was explaining to Jess how the bar is like broken up. She's like, this is my section. That's Tammy's. You bust both of them.
Yeah, it's like
there's two servers.
That's it. And we don't see the other server ever.
Ever. Ever. So Joe is like, get me the fuck out of here. Please, Jake, let's go have dinner. And Jess, on the first day, is like, well, go on, little brother. I got this. I used to work at a gas station, but now I can close your restaurant for you, bro.
Me and Sid will make sure everything's fine. We'll lock it up.
Yeah, just
met
her.
Do the numbers.
Totally just met cool. her, so we're cool.
Yeah, we're great.
And Jake he's reserved, and I would be too.
He's like, well, why don't we just, you know, I just don't think that that's the best idea.
No.
I have to agree. But Joe pushes it.
Did you see Jess's gas station? He can't even close that thing.
Didn't look good. So Joe convinces Jake to let Sydney and Jess close it down without him, and that, you know, they're going to go off and have a nice dinner, just the two of them.
Yeah. Now we head over to the hospital where Amanda is this is basically a judging contest of who was delivered.
Who got Amanda the most flowers?
Yeah, who delivered the greatest flowers? So Amanda calls out Jane and Joe for going halvesies on some orchids.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you both went in on one orchid? Oh, great. Thanks. Yeah. And she like rolls her eyes at Jane.
This is Jane's only scene.
Right. Yeah, I know. For her to just be ridiculed by Amanda.
And she wasn't even in the last episode.
I know. What's going on with her?
What the hell?
And Matt is at her bedside, just basically reporting to her about who has visited. She's like, what about Jake? What did he bring me? Well, he's been here twice.
Jake's been here twice. I have a log.
Sleeping. And we have a couple flowers that Jake brought you. Okay, uh-huh. And you just got me the orchid. All right, both of you.
Yeah.
Okay, has Joe been here yet?
She's got a rundown of who brought her the best flowers. And then, so now is when Brooke shows up with Billy.
Right.
Billy delivers his set of flowers, which are acceptable. She wasn't.
Oh, okay. Yes, I'll take these. Now, remember, Brooke only has one single rose.
Yeah, she's got the single.
You're not going to play well. So Amanda looks up and she's like, excuse me, but do I know you?
And she's like, oh, yes, I was the one packing up all your stuff when you got fired.
She says, oh, actually, no, Miss Woodward, I am interning at D&D. I'm actually Allison's assistant. This rose is from her, and she wishes you a speedy recovery.
And Amanda makes no mistake how she feels about this rose, and she doesn't even put it with the others. She just throws it on the floor.
And she says, okay, Brooke, well, I have bad news for Allison. I'm ready to put on my dancing shoes. I'm just about all cured up here, so I'm coming back to D&D, and I'm going to get my old job back.
Because I'm not dead yet.
Bam.
Now we go back to Shooters. The night's over.
Just Sydney and Jess, because remember, guys, they're the only two people that work at Shooters. Yeah.
Sid and Jess are locking up. She's tipping out Jess for busing, and she's like, you had a really good night for your first night.
Yeah.
And then Jess looks at Sid and he's like, all right, well, I'm gonna
retire back to the office, gonna go to sleep back in the bar.
Flips her the keys and he's like, you'll lock up, right? And she says, okay, leaves, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
And Jess immediately goes into the back and opens up a file cabinet.
And just starts like rooting around. And then Sydney, of course, appears in the doorway. Not having left, she wanted to do a little spying. And what was her intention?
I guess she just wanted to see what he would do.
Or do you think that she was trying to like get with him?
No, I think she just had her suspicions.
I don't know, because they had a couple flirty moments. I was thinking maybe she was gonna like come back and be like, do you want some company? But yeah. Then she sees him rooting through the files.
And she's like, what are you doing?
And he's like, no, nothing. I'm just making sure my little brother's running a good business here.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
You're a busboy.
And then Sydney says, you may have Jake snowed, but I know guys like you, and you're up to something. And he's like, you better not fucking say shit.
And she's like, I'm going to tell Jake. And he's like, if you don't want to get hurt, you won't do it. And I don't know how, but Sydney has been threatened by physical violence so many times.
And always at Shooters.
Yeah. It's like, honey, you need to get away from Shooters.
Yeah. He's probably sleeping where she was near raped.
Yeah.
Or had to like live for the night when Chris came in there and beat her up on the pool table. Ooh. So now we're at the hospital. Kimberly is talking shit to Amanda that Michael is back on board with their marriage. And Amanda is basically like, sweet.
Cool. I don't care.
This is awesome. I don't want him anyway. So
now, during this conversation, Michael appears, and when he sees Kimberly, he asks, what are you doing in Amanda's hospital room? And Kimberly responds by saying, oh, just telling Amanda the news that we are back together and we're going to work on our marriage and there's nothing that's going to be going on with the two of you.
And Michael's like, yeah, go ahead and run along. She kisses him on the cheek and he like wipes it off like it's so disgusting.
And okay, Kimberly is not that dumb. Like, it just seems, I cannot believe she stands for this treatment.
Yeah.
It's so obvious.
Well, she is madly in love with Michael no matter what.
So he leaves, and then, of course, Michael wants to make excuses and apologies to Amanda. Amanda, I can explain this. We're really over. This is all done. And she's like, save it, Michael. I don't want to be in the middle of your weird-ass love triangle. Like, I'm not into this.
And she, like, flips over to read the paper. Can you believe how much Michael has been off Kimberly? Like, he used to be madly into her and was like, would treat Jane how he's treating Kimberly now. Mm-hmm. Of like, I don't care about her. Don't worry about her.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's like, get Kimberly
away. Because it's
all
about the chase for guys like him. It's all about getting, being bad, doing things he's not supposed to do, trying to get the person he's not supposed to be with. And then the moment that it's like, we're together. This is like, we're on the up and up. We're married now. We are allowed to be together. It's not fun anymore. It's not a challenge.
Yep.
It's always wants the challenge.
So now we go to Allison at Brooke's childhood home, maybe current home. We're not sure. And Allison is like super businessy at this thing. She's bossing everybody around.
But is that what you think businessy is? Just being a bitch?
I think what their perception of businessy.
Like, she's running the show, but she's doing it in a very
mean way.
Mean, but like anxious way. Like you can tell she's very nervous about how all of this is going to shake out. And it's kind of like, you've been on these shoots 100 times. Just do what, like, you...
Where is this?
You
is this?
Won the Sentry Award. Okay, Allison, you've got what it takes. Just trust yourself.
Yeah. And Brooke is introducing Billy to her dad. And her dad is very impressed by how young Billy is, but how he's the VP of D&D.
Yeah, of some kind of department. Who knows? And they're talking.
He's like, you're either lucky or talented.
And then Billy says, well, I'm a little bit of both. At the exact time when Allison walks up and inserts herself into the conversation and says, or you could have been engaged to your boss. Hi, Allison Parker, president of D&D. Nice to meet you.
I hate this Allison.
She's horrible.
So slimy and just like, ugh. Even like, I hate Billy too, but when she hurts Billy now, I do feel bad. At least.
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
I knew it.
It's turning.
You know, and when we were in season one, I said, I'm going to bet you there's going to be a time where you're going to be on Billy's side and he's going to be one of your favorite characters.
Well, I'm definitely on his side here. When it comes to like worky Allison, she is a total bitch and needs to be fired or something. I'm rooting for her to fail.
Well, in this conversation, Brooke is talking to her dad about her internship, and there seems to have been some miscommunication. Her dad was under the impression that she was a full-blown employee, and Allison hears this and says, well, not anymore. Brooke, you're hired full-time. And, of course, Brooke is like, wow, thank you so much. I don't even know what to say.
Yeah, she's super stoked. And then Allison goes on an absolute rampage. She starts berating Joe's assistants. She's like, where is this? What's going on? And then this little boy is like, oh, I don't know. And then that boy runs over to Joe, tells Joe something. Joe comes over. Allison starts getting pissed at Joe. Joe asks Allison to look at some like test shot or whatever. And Allison's like, this is all wrong.
This is wrong. I think it's wrong. It's all wrong. No, no, Joe, this is supposed to be contemporary. This is supposed to be the quintessential 90s bride. This bride is going to be doing deals on her cell phone while throwing the stepsisters into the pool. We're not going to be doing a traditional romantic shoot up against a brick wall. Why would you even think that?
And she, this is her. Like, Allison has set up what she wants her wedding life to be. You know? Businesswoman, taking the bull by the horns, pushing people into pools. This is everything that Allison today aspires to be.
Now, of course, Joe is like, look, you know, you should have told me this vision 2 weeks ago.
When she asked her.
I have been wanting to know what you wanted to do. And without any direction, I had to kind of just play it by ear. This is what we're doing.
I hate that shit. If you have a plan and you try to get it passed and that person doesn't look at it, and then in the 11th hour, they're like, why is it like this? It's the worst. It is absolutely the worst. But Joe, she calls Allison out.
Yes, she does.
She's like, you are way over your head trying to fill Amanda's shoes, buddy.
And it's true.
Coming from Joe, that has some serious impact because Joe works for both of them. And
she's not necessarily Amanda's biggest fan as well.
She doesn't like Amanda at all, I don't think. No,
but I mean, she does admit that though all of her faults, Amanda was pretty good at her job and keeping everything together.
Yeah.
And so there is a little spat here where they're arguing about who's the professional one. And basically, Allison ends this by saying, look, you're going to do what I want you to do in my vision. Get over to the pool. I don't care what you need to do to make it happen. And if you don't do it, I will hire someone that will.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I'd be like, do it then, bitch. I'm leaving. And I'm taking all my girls with me. Ugh.
Now, we're with Jake and Jess, and they're coming out of the waves. They have surfboards under their arms, wetsuits on, and they just had a really great session of surfing.
Yeah, bro.
Handsome boys riding the waves.
Dude, great wave, little brother. That was amazing. So Jess basically, while they're walking, calls out Sydney and says that she's holding a major grudge on Jake, and he's going to need to watch her. For Jake.
Yeah, I mean, I'd hate to see someone like Sydney take advantage of your kindness, little brother.
Jake's just like, yeah, okay, whatever. How about you move
in? Hey, want to move in with me? Kind of out of left field, but okay. So Jess is moving in with Jake.
And now we go, it's the end of the night. Allison and Joe are both getting their mail at the same time. And Allison has the corniest, like, mail joke.
Yeah, she tries to make a joke. She walks up on Joe getting her mail, and Allison is arriving to Melrose Place at the same time. And she's like, they should make a law against all this spam mail. Of course, junk mail.
Yeah. Well, spam really didn't exist back then. Because they just got computer mails.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So Joe is not hearing this. She's like, good night, and starts walking away.
Allison has the fucking nerve to walk up to Joe and say, I'm sensing some hostility from you, Joe. What's going on?
Should we talk?
Oh, my God. What a bitch, dude.
Yeah, and Joe is just like, excuse me, after the way you treated me today, I do not want to talk to you.
Well, I'm sorry if I wounded your ego, but I needed the shot the right way. And Allison, she just up and defends the behavior that she needs to be mean to be successful.
Yeah, and so Allison says, I'll just chalk it up to a long day. And Joe says, no, please don't do that. Throughout the entire day, I did not hear a please or thank you escape from your mouth. And for whatever reason, Allison is convinced that if she were a man, this would not even be an issue. And that's
I think that's bullshit,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Joe is like, no, you are a jerk. You're treating people terribly. And then Allison says, look, nice guys finish last.
Yeah.
So she's convinced that in order to get far in the business world, she needs to treat everybody like shit.
And Joe just says, okay, cool. Be an ass to everyone, but I don't care. I'm out.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to be your friend. I don't want to be around you or work for you.
Yeah. And, I mean, what I hate is that she initiates the... Allison initiates the, like, let's talk about it. And then immediately defends what she did.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. You can't do that. So we go over to Wilshire Memorial. Kimberly is hanging out with, like, the extra doctors. And we cut over to someone who's sort of asking around, like, where is Kimberly? And again, Wilshire Memorial with, like, this free entry.
Oh,
no,
you want
fucking
one of our doctors? No, there's no need for you to wait. We won't page them. Mm-mm. Oh, they're just down the hall. Why don't you just go find them?
Yeah, the Wilshire Memorial has a very loose entry and exit policies. So someone figures out, like, where Kimberly is, runs up to Kimberly, and is like, you're Kimberly Shaw, right? Yep.
Oh, yes, I am.
Boom! You've been served.
Oh, what are these?
I don't read them, lady. I just give them.
Okay, so Kimberly starts to open up the letter, and it's very evident what these papers are.
Mm-hmm.
Because the very next scene, we cut to Michael.
Did you want to talk about the guy who stole the show?
Go ahead, Dan. You bring him up.
Jenny pointed him out while we were watching it, but there's a guy over Kimberly's left shoulder, African-American gentleman. He, like, tries to read the letter over her shoulder.
And he does. And you know what? It was really his facial expressions that let me know these are divorce papers.
Yeah, it's very telling.
He did a great job. I got to give it to him.
And so, yeah, he looks over, sees the letter, is reading the letter, and then, like,
looks at,
like,
his friend, like, oh,
shit.
Damn.
Yeah. These are bad papers. And then, as Jenny was saying, next scene, Kimberly is sprinting to Michael.
Yeah, Michael's walking down the hallway. Kimberly's behind him saying, Michael, Michael, what are these?
And this is by far the meanest I've ever seen.
Oh,
Michael.
It's the worst. Michael says, well, it looks to me like I'm ending our marriage, Kimberly. But Michael, why? Now, she's reduced to a heap of tears and cries. But Michael just wants to twist the knife even further and says, well, obviously, before we got married, you had promised me that you would bear us a child.
See, you misrepresented yourself.
Yeah, you're barren. That's not going to be a possibility. So totally legal grounds for me to terminate our marriage, and I want out.
He says, I wanted a baby, and you couldn't deliver the goods.
Mm.
Oh, my God. Michael's a piece of shit.
And he's like, and by the way, I'm in love with somebody else. And then she says, well, Michael, was this all just an act? How long have you felt this way? Pretty much since you've been in that accident, and all I wanted to do was just get that insurance money from you. Oh, by the way, thanks so much. I went ahead and took that money, and now, after you're gone and out of my life, me and Amanda can have a great life with it. Okay, see you later.
And doesn't he say something like, every time I kissed you, I wanted to, like, puke?
Oh, God.
Something like just, yeah, really fucked up shit.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, he said something along those lines. And
he's like, the only thing that kept me from not vomiting was, like, the thought of the money or something.
Yeah, saying that that's the only way that he could pretend to play this role, because he knew that he had money coming his way. Which is just
awful.
He is, like, the most terrible human being in the entire world.
She is laying in a puddle,
I mean,
of tears.
And he says, oh, and come on, Kimberly. We work in a hospital. You have patients that are relying on you. This is very unprofessional.
Yeah, he's like, keep it together.
It's just terrible.
He is so shitty.
Horrible. He is the worst person. Just despicable.
So now we go to D&D. Brooke has, for real, the biggest flowers. Not the best flowers.
Gorgeous.
Nothing can beat the whore flowers.
Okay, yes, I'd have to agree. Whore flowers will always go down in Melrose Place history as the best flowers that have ever been delivered to D&D ever in the history of the world.
These are big.
These are pretty. Allison walks in and she's like, whoa, those flowers are beautiful. Brooke, who are they from?
Brooke thinks quick on her feet and she's like, LOL gave these to me. LOL.
My fiance, Billy met him. Yeah, he gave them to me. And Allison is like, well, I want to meet him too. I think with the four of us should go out to dinner. Okay, great. I'll call him.
I'll give Lowell a call.
Now, as Allison is walking away, we get a little close-up of the note. And guys, guess what? The flowers aren't from Lowell. The flowers are from none other than Amanda Woodward requesting that Brooke come visit her in the hospital.
Amanda,
how could you?
So, and then there's a real, like, creepy shot of Brooke. Like, the camera angle is, like, zooming in on her chin, and she's like...
She's got a lot of weird facial expressions.
Yeah. So we go to the hospital. Michael is with Amanda, and she is gonna get better. And he's like... It almost kills you before it cures you.
Yeah, that's chemo for you, but you're good. Everything's fine. You're pretty much beat cancer.
Yeah, this is it.
You know, in like 3 weeks.
And Amanda starts, she's like, good, I'm feeling better. I want to go back to work. And Michael's like, give it a week, all right?
He's trying to coax kisses out of her. She won't, you know, kiss him. And then that's when Brooke visits her hospital room.
Brooke comes to her bedside, breaks it up, and Michael leaves. And Amanda says she's going back to work soon, and it's going to be at D&D.
Right. She explains to Brooke that she built D&D from the ground up, and she's going to come back. She's going to take her rightful place as president, and she's going to turn D&D upside down. And she's giving Brooke an opportunity to be her eyes and ears at D&D until this happens.
And Brooke is still, she's on the fence because she's like, that's weird because when I talk to Allison, she says you're never going to work there again.
Which
and
is
she's
like,
the president.
Like, are you playing? But like, are she trying to play both sides? And then she even says, so you, in essence, want me to spy for you? Yeah. And then Amanda's like, look, you do it for me or you're fired when I get in.
Ouch.
So...
She's
we leave Brooke
it.
Like, oh, should I? Shouldn't I? We don't know.
She's going to do it. Now we go to the beach house. Kimberly is writing a suicide note, and we're hearing the voiceover of Marsha Cross, like in her own head, writing this thing out. And poor Kimberly, she's using like words like, this is the only way that I can like escape Michael. It's the only way she knows how. Sad. She's drinking this big bottle of wine.
I don't know. Was it wine? I thought it was some kind of like spirit.
It's like Chianti or something.
Yeah, she was just like, dear Michael, I'm so sorry you had to find me like this. You have been a painful addiction that I can't free myself from. I did this to escape you.
Just so sad. And she goes to the cabinet. She pulls out the red pills.
Big old bottle of pills.
The big reds.
In total despair, she limps over to the deck looking out to the ocean. She lays on a lawn chair.
I thought the note was going to blow away.
Yeah, it was real windy outside. I was like, damn, he might not see the note and know that this was like a suicide that was totally like...
warranted.
Yeah, I don't know how to like what word I'm looking for. But anyway, she takes all the pills and then we cut back to the dinner that
at Chianti.
Oh, it's at Chianti.
The restaurant is called Chianti.
Okay, so Billy and Allison are having dinner with Brooke and LOL.
I was a little upset at like the display of the plate. Yeah, it is just a plate with a lobster on it.
Dan, it's a very fancy place. They've probably had multiple courses.
Not even a lemon.
And this
is
just like one of the courses.
So they're all at dinner chatting. Brooke is sitting next to Lowell and Billy. And she's putting hands on Billy's legs at the dinner table.
Now, and one other thing to add insult to injury is that they're discussing their wedding plans.
Right.
So Lowell and Brooke are engaged. They're talking about when they're going to be getting married, probably next June. And we're planning on honeymooning in Paris.
Lowell speaks like a cyborg robot, too.
Oh, does he?
He's like, we are going to be married at the place.
Tell me, Allison, how did you find Paris? Have you ever been to France?
So Billy is like, I got to get up because Brooke's hand is getting real close to his dick.
Yeah, so Brooke is just like all handsy under the table, like feeling up his leg. Billy jumps up. He goes,
I got to go to the bathroom. I got to get up. I'm going to come. I'm going to ruin these pants. They're the only pants I have. So he gets up and he runs into the bathroom to like chill out. And then fucking forward ass Brooke
barges into the men's room.
She's like the Terminator of like, where are you, Billy? Get over here. Let's have sex. And like she just starts making out with him. And he's like, I have some rules about this. I can't kiss people if their fiancés are at dinner with me. And she's like, oh, shut up, Billy. Just make out. And then like,
look, I don't even love LOL. My dad picked him for me. He's an investment banker. He's supposed to run my daddy's company. But look, I have plans of my own. I'm going to be running daddy's company and I'm going to choose the man that I'm going to have my babies with. And as soon as I met you, Billy, I knew it wasn't going to be Lowell.
And then some like random Hitler youth, like fucking attendee. Like,
no, I think he's like a patron of the restaurant. He he's, like, walks
blonde
in.
Blonde hair, blue eyes.
He like sees Brooke and Billy and he's like, and then he like looks back like, am I in the right room? And then he's like, oh yeah, this is the men's room. And then Brooke is just like, gives him a little smirk and like walks away.
And she tells Billy, don't forget to zip up your fly, Campbell. What? I don't get it. We head over to the beach house. Michael has come home. And, like, he sees, like, Kimberly's body outside.
And he's like, oh,
such
great.
A dick. He's like,
Kimberly!
I told you not to be here, asshole. Like, he's just, like, mad at her.
He's like, walks,
what are you still doing here, you little freak?
He walks out onto the, like, the deck. And then just starts, like, kicking her chair, like, hello?
Hey, get the hell up.
Get up. And then he realizes, oh, she's not conscious. Like, she's not sleeping. She's, like, it doesn't look good. He notices there's the pill bottle. Mm-hmm. He sees the bottle of liquor. His first instinct is to pick up the phone and call 911, which he does. And then the operator comes on the line and starts doing the spiel. 911, what's your emergency? And he begins to talk, but stops himself right before. And he realizes that, hey, if I can prolong this, she might just die on her own. Problem solved. And to this realization, he starts maniacally laughing.
And he hangs up on 911.
Hangs up 911 and then is just like having a little raucous laugh to himself about, ha, 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 let's just ruin this woman's life and make her die.
Like, dude, she's like dead.
Yeah.
You're a doctor,
he
man.
He is the worst.
He's breached.
He's the worst.
He's breached the like doctor clause.
the Hippocratic Oath.
Yeah.
Do no harm.
Yeah, he is a total fucker. And so we end this episode with, like, for all intents and purposes, Kimberly is, like,
dead. She could be dead for real this time.
For real this time. What a dick.
Okay, so that's it. Let's recap it.
Allison is a total bitch to Joe over glorious gowns.
Jess moves to LA and starts working at Shooters.
Amanda gets better and enlists Brooke to be a spy.
Sydney catches Jess going through Jake's files at Shooters.
Kimberly gets a settlement check of $100,000 and Michael files for divorce.
Brooke makes a play for Billy.
Kimberly attempts suicide.
And Michael doesn't call for help.
Fucker. 90s moments. Did you catch any, Jenny?
You know, Jess's hair. This is something we didn't talk about last episode, but like that like Pearl Jam, like shoulder length, unkempt, like guy hair.
Guy hair?
Yeah.
Okay. Jess's like goatee.
Oh yeah.
It starts at the corner of his lips and then goes around. It's only missing the mustache.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That, I feel like that was very 90s.
Yeah, the whole 310 area. Don't really know what that means, but I'm going out on a limb that it's got to be 90s related.
Not being able to look at Brooke's house immediately online.
Or like, and oh, like here,
decide.
Here's pictures on my phone.
Yeah, this is my house.
We have to physically go there.
Go there. Yeah, like go all the way there and like make a thing. Like I would, you would just Google images that house or like Google Earth.
The fake plant at the hospital in the reception area.
Mm.
For some reason, 90s for me. A lot just of fake plants. A lot of fake plants.
Brooks like Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey jacket at work.
A lot of gold 90s. Tassels and the idea of eating lunch at the Ivy.
The hip place. And I guess that's it.
Using the term for your information. Like I know now people say like FYI, but just saying like saying it out that way.
Right.
Amanda reading a newspaper. Allison's aggressive lime green suit at that shoot.
Oh yeah.
What is up with that? And then of course Billy's sweater vest.
Oh, my sweater vest. All right. All of these episodes deep down have a lesson. Would you like to hear mine or Jenny's?
I'd like to hear yours first.
Okay. My lesson is don't commit suicide around Michael if you want to be saved, because he'll just hang up the phone.
I think she wants to be dead.
Yeah. She doesn't want to be saved.
Yeah. I think she's done.
But like if you're one of those people who just like wants attention to like, oh, I'm gonna do it. And then you like half do it, hoping that someone finds you and like saves you. Don't want that person to be Michael.
Yeah.
What's your lesson?
Mine's take the money and run. You know, you don't have to draw it out. You don't have to be like a stupid jerk asshole dick to your wife and make her feel like shit. You want the money, just take it. Serve her the divorce papers and don't talk to her anymore. Like, bye.
You want him to like Chris Marchette it.
Yeah, just peace. Gone.
I'm out.
It worked for him.
Yeah.
Look at Jane's not running around trying to find him or taking any legal action against him.
Just steal $500,000 and run away.
But then you gotta punch Michael in the face first.
Yeah. And lose it all on blackjack. So now it is time for
Bitch of the Week. I'm a boss ass bitch. Bitch, 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 bitch. I'm a boss ass bitch.
Last week, bitch, it was. Bitch. It was a man versus man bitch of the week. But men can be bitches too. Michael versus Jess. Now, the Facebook group, it was 13-4 in favor of Michael. Twitter tied 3-3. So again, it comes down to Instagram which was 10 to 23 in favor of Jess, which means Jess was the bitch of the week and beat out Michael. Congratulations, woo! Jenny.
Thank you.
So now we're going to read you guys' comments.
So Donald says, I'm so happy that you nominated Michael this week, Dan. If you didn't, I was going to nominate him again. Anyway, no, not defending Allison. She gets an honorable mention in this episode for sleeping with Billy. That was a bitchy thing to do because she's the boss and that's so wrong. And I absolutely hated it. Anyway, Michael is the total bitch of this episode due to the fact that he is trying to get money for an accident that he caused. He's not telling Kimberly about it, and he's lying to Amanda. I absolutely hated him in this episode. He was even worse than last week. Everything you said about him, Dan, was spot on. And don't worry, Jenny. I think I remember that just gets so much worse. So just hold on to that nomination, because you'll win eventually.
Greg said, difficult choice. They're both bastards. I voted for Michael, but it doesn't really matter this week. They were both just in the infancy of their douchebaggery. They will do so much worse in the upcoming episodes. I'm sure I'm going to have the opportunity to vote for either one of them again and again.
Noah says, I voted for Michael because he really is human garbage. But can we talk for a second about Sydney? Who's that? Trying to worm her way back into Jake's life right after his mother dies? Love Sid, but that girl can never take a hint. Anyway, back to Michael. He is the worst. Not only because of how he's lying to Kimberly, because honestly, she's no saint herself, but because we just know that he doesn't love Amanda. He's just weirdly obsessed with her, and it's the creepiest Michael is during the entire season. Make it stop!
Jamie said, yay, I'm all called up so I can vote now. You both had good arguments, but I had to go with Jess. Obviously, both Michael and Jess are horrible, but Jess was such a bitch with his poor me routine and not even showing up at his mom's funeral. What a bitch.
John says, Michael, although he's one of my favorite characters on the show, he's definitely earned the title this week. Insurance fraud, lying to Kimberly. I just hope he had the decency to change the sheets before Amanda arrives. But it doesn't look like he had the time.
I bet he didn't.
He didn't.
He needed to change the blankets.
He didn't.
He used all the blankets. Zach said, I voted for Jess. I don't know. I don't know if his actions are as heinous as Michael's, but he's irritating as fuck, and I can totally see the Adam Sandler correlations here.
Thank you! I know!
Oh, Jake, can I please stay at your house?
On another note, did Amanda really just get fired from D&D advertising for the third time this season?
God, I love it. Rodney says, Michael all the way, nothing but bitch moves all over the place. Lying to the woman that loves you despite all his bullshit and devoted to a woman who barely likes him. What a bitch.
What a
bitch. Can't argue with you there.
So, Jenny, since you won, you got first crack. Who's your bitch?
Dan, my bitch is without a doubt Michael Mancini. Guys, he is so egregious. Like, there's nothing you can do to come back from how terrible this dude is. Okay, like, yes, he's been stringing Kimberly along. Kimberly comes back, wants to be with him after she's recovered from this horrible accident that's basically left her maimed, and he just plays into it just because he wants to get that insurance money. And then he starts taking up with Amanda, and I've got to agree with some of you guys on our Facebook page. I don't think he even cares for Amanda. It's just he is the one that has this transference problem that once he has gotten the object of his affections and obsession, he has to transfer those feelings onto somebody else. And Amanda's just a woman in his proximity. It could have been anybody. But it's Amanda because she's convenient. And I think that he's just going after her now. And then the way that he berated Kimberly when she found out that he was filing for divorce.
Terrible.
It's just kicking someone when they are down. There's no reason why he had to go in depth as to how much he hated pretending to be married to her and actually loving her. I mean, you can tell that she's just gutted over this. And then, of course, the thing that just seals the deal, Dan, as you mentioned, he is a surgeon. He took the Hippocratic Oath and he goes against that. He is willing to let Kimberly die because it would just make his life more convenient. And then he laughs maniacally like a freaking superhero villain. It's just too much. He is such a bitch, and he definitely is getting my vote this episode.
Damn. Okay. Well, my bitch of the week is Allison Parker because of the way that she is running D&D advertising. Now, Amanda was a bitch, but at least Amanda like got the job done. Allison is just straight up mean to people. Like, and mean to folks like under her, below, like so far below her that like there's no reason. When she was at this shoot for Glorious Gowns, she yelled at this young kid. Like, maybe I'm overplaying it, but like I thought he was like 13. And he's just got like,
I don't think he was that young.
He's got the camera equipment. Like, he's just messing with like a lens. And she's like, where's everybody? And he's like, I just don't know. Then like, how many times are you and Joe going to fight over the same issues? Like, you're a fucking bitch, Allison. And then you try to make up for it at the mailbox. Yet you defend all of your actions and you say, well, being just using little freaking anecdotes like, oh, the cream rises to the top and sometimes kill or be killed. Dog eat dog. Nice guys finish last. I'm the best. And you got to really sock it to them. Like, shut the fuck up, Allison. You're just being a no good bitch. And then Amanda's got cancer, man. You got in the car, you rode to Wilshire Memorial, you bought one flower that you give to a kid after they finish a dance recital, and then you get all the way to the room and you can't face her? That's the definition of a bitch. And not the kind of bitch that's like, oh, really mean and nasty. That's the kind of bitch that's like, you are such a little sissy. You're being a little bitch. So she's two kinds of bitches. A mean, angry, nasty bitch. And a little sissy, weak, cowardly bitch. And I can't stand for either of those. So, Allison, you're the bitch of this week. 100%. Mean.
Well, guys, what do you think? Is it Allison Parker? Is it Michael Mancini? Or is it somebody else? Go to Facebook, go to Instagram, go to Twitter. Let us know. Vote. Your comments that you make on our Facebook page will be read aloud on the next show.
This episode was called To Live and Die in Malibu, which I'm assuming is about Kimberly Shaw. Mm-hmm. She lives and dies in Malibu. We're going to try to rename this thing. Whose do you want to hear first? Odds are they're both bad.
Okay, Dan, why don't you take a crack at it?
I'm renaming this one Evil Deeds.
Okay. It's pretty much as generic as the ones that they come up with, so.
Evil Deeds. Dunder
Cheap. Evil Deeds. Dunder Cheap.
That's Dirty Deeds, isn't it?
Yeah, but we renamed it for the episode.
Evil Deeds. Okay, what's yours?
Mine is the under the table advancements. And, you know, it can go both ways because we all know what Brooke was doing under the table with Billy. And I can only assume that Jake is paying his brother under the table if he's making him live in the freaking office. So that's what I went with.
And he's advanced his career. He's no longer a gas station operator.
I don't know if a bus boy is.
It's moving on up.
It's a tear up from that, Dan, but okay.
It's advanced.
I'll take it.
All right. Predictions. What's going to happen?
What's going on next with week? Jane?
Dude, they were heavy Jane for several episodes.
Like, how's Mancini Designs? I mean, yeah. They lost $500,000. That is not getting past me.
She needs to repair her relationship with Kay Beacon. Because I need an excuse to do her impressions.
Now someone get me a donut.
You contradicted me, Jane.
Dan, we have to make a video of you doing it.
Kay Beacon lives in my heart.
Oh, and in your soul.
Kay Beacon is awesome.
So something's got to happen there. I don't think Kimberly dies. Spoiler alert. I think she lives.
You can't beat the crow.
She lives to see another day. I don't know if she's going to want to exact revenge or if she's going to want to just start her life over.
Couple pills ain't going to stop the crow. Mm-mm. Is that all your...
Well, I don't know. I kind of think that Amanda's going to get back into D&D somehow, some way, and kind of knock Allison off of her horse. Maybe all of the employees come together and lodge a complaint against Allison. And then the board is like, oh, well, we can see that the people here don't like this new leadership. And Amanda seems to be getting better from being, oh, she had cancer for 3 weeks and she beat it. Okay, come on.
She's a fighter.
She is the leader that we need. Amanda, we're reinstating you, and I'm sorry, Allison. You're demoted back to your old position so Amanda can shit on you.
And now Brooke is VP.
Yeah.
I wrote down, Kimberly lives, in exclamations. I think Billy starts hooking up with Brooke on the Lolo, and then Allison gets jealous. Same storyline as Amanda versus Allison when Allison was hooking up with Billy. Mm-hmm. I think that Amanda, like you said, gets back to D&D and begins to date Michael. Mm. And because I still think that Michael, he will move in with Amanda. And that's going to help Kimberly want to murder everyone.
Oh, okay.
I think that Jess steals a lot of money from Jake. And I think that everyone tells Jake that Jess is terrible. And Jake is like got the blinders on. Like
he does a Jane.
He's my big brother. I respect him. Mm. I love him. He's the best. And everyone knows like on the low that Jess is terrible. And Matt and Jane definitely need storylines bad.
Totally.
They need them bad. So I hope they get them. And that's all I got for my predictions, man.
Well, what's going to happen? We don't know. But we're going to find out next week.
Yep. So we're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Melrose Pod. You can email us, melrosepod@gmail.com. You can contribute to the podcast by going to patreon.com/melrosepod. And we got some buttons that are about to go out to our patrons. So thank you. We love you. We hope you have a button and you like it.
We love smut.
And we love you.